the great rhetorical battle between right and left. From Southern California, this is Conservative Analysis.
The midterm elections, one of the sleaziest people on TV, and the issue of climate change coming up. Hello and welcome to another Daily Rant. So first, before I get into anything, before I get into Don Lemon and Kanye West and Donald Trump and climate change and all of that stuff, I want to mention to conservatives, I really want to get this out there, to not underestimate the Democrats. Do not underestimate the left. I hear all this about, oh, we're going to have a red wave. This is going to be a red wave. We're going to keep the House and we're going to win seats in the Senate. You can't be underestimating the left like this. Their issues are the popular issues. 70% of Americans, now before I even get to how many people approve of Medicare for All, as you can guess, it's 70%, the majority of Americans right now, I think is also in the 70% area, see healthcare as the most important issue in the midterms. And 70% of people agree with Bernie Sanders' vision of healthcare, Medicare for All, or socialized medicine. So it's essential for conservatives and for Republicans to not underestimate the Democrats. I think this is my prediction. My official prediction is that we're going to lose the House by 10 seats or so, maybe 5 to 10 seats, so by a narrow margin. So we're going to hold it better than we thought we were a couple months ago, but still we're going to lose it. And I think we're going to gain one seat in the Senate. Now, again, I think I'm being optimistic right now, but let's hope that at least it's not any worse than that. And I think we can do it. If we win the rhetorical battle, we have to convince Americans that we're going to do something on healthcare. Again, healthcare is one of the biggest issues, if not the biggest issue. So I really want to remind conservatives on that, because people will keep saying that Democrats have nothing to run on. They have multiple things to run on. They have a multitude of things to run on. They have healthcare, they have education, they have free housing because housing is expensive. So again, they have a lot of things to run on, and you underestimating the Democrats is really, really putting a wrench in our midterm chances. So because Republicans are running on social issues and cultural issues, right? They're saying, oh, look how uncivilly the Democrats treated Kavanaugh. They're saying, why doesn't the football man stand for the national anthem? They're saying, why we like cops and the Democrats don't like cops. So again, they're just throwing vague platitudes about socialism and the Democrats running to the hard left. I don't think that works. I really don't think that works politically, because at the end of the day, people follow issues. Well, they follow people. I'm more cynical in that regard. I think that people follow people. But if the person is a populist and they say, look at what the government's going to do for you, people are, because I think that's human nature. People follow the person who promises them security, not the person who promises them liberty. So we have to win the rhetorical battle against those who promise security. Financial security. Okay, now let's get into this CNN, Don Lemon, Kanye West, Donald Trump climate change thing. So Don Lemon first starts out by trashing Trump. He says, well, Trump and Kanye had no right meeting. Kanye West shouldn't have gone to the White House because of all these things going on, including Hurricane Michael. So he's going to say his whole laundry list of things as to why Kanye shouldn't be in the White House. So let's listen to Don Lemon. I would think Don Lemon has an IQ of about 173. He's a very smart, intelligent person. Really, honestly, Don Lemon goes to show why anybody in the United States can get a TV show. Let's look at Don Lemon.
To give you some perspective here. They say a picture is worth a thousand words, so here are some pictures that tell quite a story. While the President of the United States was meeting with Kanye this afternoon, cities were in ruin across the Florida panhandle. Thousands of people lost their homes. At least six people died. A million without power in the aftermath of Hurricane Michael. The storm that is still bringing life-threatening flash floods across the Southeast. Well, the president met Kanye.
So that's all he says about the hurricane. So in other words, he implies that the Trump administration doesn't care about the hurricane. Well, every little thing that I've heard about the hurricane, every piece of reading or that I've heard, that I've seen on the hurricane, shows that FEMA was actually very well prepared for this hurricane. Thanks to weather forecasting, we know when these things are coming. So Trump was actually really prepared for Florida. And why wouldn't he be? It's a swing state. If there's a hurricane in Florida, he's going to make sure that there's enough. So not even from an altruistic point of view, from a political point of view, Trump has a really big interest in protecting Florida and making sure that everybody has resources and making sure that Floridians get their lights back on. And if he does that, I think that it's going to be politically advantageous to him. Again, this is just from a political standpoint. Never mind that it's his obligation to do that. So Donald Trump, from everything that I've read, the federal government is doing a very good job of taking care of the Florida situation. Now, is he implying that Donald Trump needs to be in the middle of Michael? I think so. That's what he's saying, right? Hey, well, how come if he has Hurricane Michael going on, how come Kanye's at the White House? This is a problem that I think many people have been having. Why do administrations need to be out and about collecting camera attention at hurricanes or at natural disasters? What's the point of that? Seriously. Okay, wow, the president is in a suit and everybody else is surrounded by water. I think that's a good sight. This is a tradition that we've been having ever since George Bush was in office. Everybody say, hey, George Bush isn't doing his job as the president and visiting these natural disasters. Yeah, Katrina was his thing. And this is carried over into the Obama administration. People expect the Obama administration, and by extension, of course, Obama, to be in the middle of everything, bothering people, causing traffic, making things less efficient. So it doesn't really make sense for Trump to be there. So he's saying that because Trump shouldn't be meeting with Kanye because he should be in the middle of a hurricane. Okay, let's continue with the rest of what he says. He's about to say the Dow Jones is plummeting. So let's listen to Don Lemon again.
Ow. Was plummeting. Well, the president met with Kanye. The Dow was plummeting for a second straight day, slamming the 401ks of hardworking people across this country and wiping out most of the good news from the year.
So Trump can't meet with Kanye because the Dow Jones is falling. I mean, what are these silly, silly, silly arguments? It just doesn't, I don't understand. Well, a picture's worth a thousand words, you see. Kanye is meeting with Trump while everybody's losing their retirement money. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
And while the president met with Kanye, the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, a resident of this country, remained officially unsolved. The U.S. official telling CNN, the working assumption is that Khashoggi was murdered inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul.
So this is a journalist who went to the Saudi Arabian consulate, and he was murdered there. Or at least that's the best guess. So if there's actually evidence to support that he was murdered, this is a really serious thing. And it can pose a geopolitical threat because we're aligned with Saudi Arabia because they have a Middle Eastern coalition against Iran. And keep in mind, Iran, along with Syria and along with Russia, are our geopolitical foes. They're the people that pose a threat to Israel. There are people that promise to proliferate the United States and use warfare to eradicate us from the world, as well as Israel. So they're not our friends. So by extension, of course, we actually reach a handout to Saudi Arabia and we say, hey, look, we're both against Iran. If Iran grows too much power, there's going to be an imbalance of power in the Middle East, and that's something dangerous. So we support Saudi Arabia. By the way, I don't think we should support Saudi Arabia just because of how deeply immoral they are. But if it's against Iran, I think that it's actually... there's that age-old question. Is it moral to team up with Stalin to defeat Hitler? And I think the answer to that is yes. The answer is yes, it's okay to team up with Stalin to defeat Hitler. Especially when the stakes are that high. When you have an enemy that is as violent and as rhetorically volatile as Iran, I think that it's okay to rhetorically back Saudi Arabia. Now, us selling them weapons and arms, I really don't like that, to be honest with you. I don't think we should be giving them money. I don't think we should be giving anybody money. You know, the money that we give to Africa in foreign aid actually makes their economy worse, not better. The money that we give to Israel is gratuitous, as they say. That's what Israel says. They say, hey, look, we don't need any of your help anymore. So I think our foreign aid should be slashed immensely, except for the money that goes to fund NATO. I think that we need to either kick it up or just stay where we are and make sure that everybody else pays their fair share. Anyway, I digress. The point is, he's implying that Trump isn't taking care of the situation. Now, there are two outcomes here. So either one, we could really turn our backs against Saudi Arabia, which could have consequences, because then that can embolden Iran and Saudi Arabia's geopolitical foes. Or we can pretend like nothing happened. I don't think that's a good idea. So Trump actually says that he's concerned about this and he plans to act, or he at least plans to take this seriously. So this is Donald Trump talking about he's talking about the missing journalist in Saudi Arabia who's most likely dead right now. And that's really horrible news, but this is Donald Trump.
Well, we're looking at it very, very seriously. I don't like it at all. Now, you know, you don't have American citizens, but that in this case doesn't matter. I don't like it. I don't like it with respect to reporters. It's a terrible, terrible precedent. We can't let it happen. And we're being very tough, and we have investigators over there, and we're working with Turkey, and frankly, we're working with Saudi Arabia. We want to find out what happened.
Okay, so that was President Trump. And so he says he doesn't like it. He says, quote, we can't let it happen, and we're being very tough, and we have investigators over there, and we're working with Turkey, and frankly, we're working with Saudi Arabia. We want to find out what happened. So that's what Trump says. Trump says that he's really adamant to find out he's eager to find out what happened. Now, is this a political show? Hopefully not. I hope that Trump says to Saudi Arabia that it doesn't matter if you're our ally in this fight against Iran. If you do something like this, you will be punished in front of the entire world, and I think our allies should know this as well. So we'll see. We'll see how Trump handles it. But to suggest that Kanye West can't go over to Trump's White House because there's a missing journalist, again, it's a non sequitur. And Don Lemon continues. So first of all, he lets the Kanye speech go through. So he plays a clip from Kanye. And of course, you know, some of the things that Kanye said were pretty goofy, but some of the things that Kanye said were really good. He protected the Second Amendment. He bashed people that use racism as a crutch in his own community, in the black community. So he says that racism can no longer be an excuse to not succeed in the United States. And this is something that is true. So the good things that Kanye says, you just want to brush those aside. But the embarrassing things that Kanye said, well, he wants to put those at the forefront. So I'm not going to play the major Kanye clip because, like I said, we have a little bit of time here. But this is his reaction. So basically what Don Lemon says is that Kanye needs mental help. He needs mental assistance. So if he doesn't fall in line with the rest of the Democrats on the Democratic plantation, then Kanye's a coon and he's an Uncle Tom and he's mentally sick. He's ill in the head. There's something mentally wrong with him. That's how the left believes, and the left has such contempt. The left has such contempt for people that match all the boxes, a black male, somebody who's supposedly the pinnacle of oppression. I think that black males historically have suffered more than black females, and I'll tell you why. There is, in the time of Reconstruction, not only were black males lynched more often, but the whole thing with white women and black men had the legal system completely turned on them. So if you, because another thing that they did, a lot of Southerners in the time, they wrote propaganda pieces against mostly black men. They said these are lazy beasts that lust after our white women. And so it was a lot easier to demonize a white male, somebody, you know, who went out. And as a result, there was a cycle where the black men came home and they beat their wives to kind of let out their aggression and their... So again, it was this cycle. The point is, black men historically are the most oppressed. Yet Kanye West, now, in a time where there's no serious systematic oppression that should be credited with the disenfranchisement and the lack of success of the black community, obviously. And Kanye West is right to point this out, and people have contempt for him because he shouldn't be doing that. He's straying away. So let's see. Don Lemon now is reacting with contempt to Kanye West, and let's see what he has to say.
That laughter, this is not funny. They were laughing there. This is a man who needs help. Needs help. I've said it before. President Trump is exploiting Kanye, using him to try to reach black voters. It's why this president loves to talk about everything.
Really? He's exploiting Kanye. Really? So Democrats have never exploited the race card? I'm not saying that Trump is. Trump is... as if Kanye didn't put on his MAGA hat on his own accord. I mean, Kanye has been out and about on his own volition. Nobody told Kanye to do this. Nobody told Kanye to go out and shill for Trump. Nobody did that. And to imply that, oh wow, he's using him. It's like, oh, so the Democrats have never used the race card. So Hillary Clinton She didn't use LeBron James. She didn't use Jay-Z. They're just buddy buddies. The reason that she had LeBron James and Jay-Z campaign for her is because because it's a result of their organic friendship that was apolitical, that transcended politics. What a silly thing to say. Yeah, the Democrats never use the race card. The Democrats never showcase Latinos and black people and Asians. They never do that. Excuse me. But it's such a stupid argument. Wow, he's exploiting Kanye. Exploiting Kanye. If you look at the meeting, he's just sitting down. Trump is sitting down and looking at him, and Kanye's the one that's doing all the falumfalum, both good and bad. Let's continue.
He says he's done for the African American community. Why he loves to say black unemployment is at an all-time low, completely ignoring the fact that the trend started under President Barack Obama.
So if the Dow Jones plummets, it's Trump's fault. But if black unemployment is the best it's ever been since 1969, it's Obama's doing. It doesn't make any sense, Don Lemon. Don Lemon suggests that the current economy, because the reason that black unemployment is doing so well right now is because the economy is doing so well right now. So it's not like Trump has been targeting black people. It's not like he's some sort of wizard who's doing inputs into the economy specifically for black people. That's not true. Black people are succeeding because the economy is succeeding. Capitalism and capitalistic growth of wealth is colorblind, right? So the black unemployment rate is a result of the good economy. So the question is, who is responsible for the economy? Well, if trends started under the Obama administration and went into the Trump administration, look, going in, I remember the first few months of the Trump administration, they projected the numbers. They're like, look, if the trends continue, these are the projected numbers of jobs that should be created in the months to come. Trump shot way over those numbers, because the second that Trump was elected, and after the market corrected itself, after the stock market corrected itself, consumer confidence went way the heck up because business finally said, hey, look, we have somebody who promises to cut regulation. Now I can hire people without fearing for more regulations to be put on. So Donald Trump has just had a psychological effect. Not, again, he has actually cut, I think, 16 regulations for every one that he's created. So what Trump has done here is without even too much economic policy, never mind his corporate tax cuts, never mind his individual tax cuts, never mind all of those tax cuts and all the regulation reform. He's just had this aurora, some sort of economic fragrance, this fertile soil in which the psychological effect that Trump has on businesses makes it so that they're willing to hire more people. So, and not to mention that if Trump exacerbated the growth too much, we would be inflating at an unhealthy rate. So if the unemployment rate gets too low, that's actually bad. You know, economics 101. Inflation is a real thing. There has to be constant demand for jobs. If there's not constant demand for jobs, then it doesn't work. There's different types of unemployment. Structural unemployment, frictional unemployment, and cyclical unemployment. Each of those mean different things. One of the types of unemployment is where you lose your job because there are structural changes in the mode of production. In the mode of industry. So for example, if you get replaced by automation or if you get replaced because there is a significant difference in industry, there you go. That's one type of unemployment. Frictional unemployment, I believe that's the type of unemployment where you are unemployed because you want to be unemployed. You're looking for a job, you change jobs, or they call it in-between jobs, but you're actually in between jobs. You're not just saying you're in between jobs to avoid embarrassment and social, I guess, embarrassment. But yeah, so there's different types of unemployment. And if Trump were to exacerbate the growth of the economy too much, that wouldn't necessarily be a good thing either. So what's going on right now is the economy is chugging along at a very healthy rate. And yes, the trend started under Obama, but he started from a recession. Obama started under a recession, and it took him years and years and years to finally recover and finally start growing. So Barack Obama had record years and quarters where he wouldn't reach above 3% growth. It's embarrassing. Obama's economy was actually embarrassing. And 3% growth, again, starting from a recession. Not starting from a boom, starting from a recession. So Trump has been able to reach 2 and 3 and 4% growth, starting from a growing economy. So if Obama, again, so you can't say that the Obama economy is responsible for the current economic situation. It's just not true. It's dishonest. And does he have anything else to say?
Trump is delighted to have Kanye in the White House, even when he says this.
And he might not have expected to have a crazy mother like Kanye West run up and support, but best believe, we are going to make America great.
The Oval Office.
The Oval Office. President. You hear that? He's like, that's the Oval Office. Can you believe that? Let's hear that again.
The great.
The Oval Office. Yep, President Trump is absolutely fine with Kanye dropping an F-bomb in the Oval Office and in front of cameras on television.
Oh! Kanye West said a bad cuss word. Gotta be kidding me, dude. You gotta be kidding me. Let's listen to a number of Democrats saying cuss words. Just something simple. Something simple like Joe Biden. So when Joe Biden, when the Affordable Care Act passed, Joe Biden leans into it. So I'm actually going to say a little courtesy here. If you don't listen very carefully, you're not going to be able to hear it. So I'm going to put the sound way the heck up. So just as a warning, the volume of this clip is going to be quite high. So I'm doing this as a courtesy. If you want to put it down or if you want to rewatch it or whatever, this is going to be a clip that is going to be a little bit louder because I want you to hear it. Joe Biden leans into Barack Obama and he says, this is a big effing deal, but he doesn't say effing. So here is Joe Biden dropping an F-bomb.
Gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Let's do it one more time. Now, am I upset about that? No, I'm not. I don't care that Joe Biden dropped an F-bomb, but everybody heard it, and it was actually news, but it wasn't, like, bad news. It's not like everybody was shaming him and making a big deal about it. But why, when Kanye West, and he's acting like Trump told him to say a bad word, like, can you believe Trump is okay with Kanye saying this? Like, well, was Trump going to interrupt him and say, excuse me, Boy Scout rules, it says that you can't say that. Like, come on, man. So, Democrats now pretending like they care about civility and they care about language. Mayor Garcetti, mayor of Los Angeles, when the Kings won the cup, is it the hockey, the what is it called, the hockey cup or whatever the heck it is? Yeah, I don't watch hockey. I think it's a sport that I don't watch hockey. I don't watch football. I don't watch a bunch of other sports. I'm a baseball guy. Anyway, point is the LA Kings won, and Mayor Garcetti goes in front of a big audience, and he says this.
Happy I'm not singing tonight, but there are two rules in politics. They say never, ever be pictured with a drink in your hand and never swear, but this is a big fucking day. Way to go, guys.
And he has a drink in his hand while he says, this is a big effing day. So, you know, that's appropriate. And Democrats do this all the time. You know, Beto O'Rourke, he's running in Texas against Ted Cruz, and he cusses all the time. You don't hear people saying, oh, can you believe that? He's ruining the rules of civility. He's ruining the rules of politics. Never mind the fact that Obama had Snoop Dogg invited to the White House. Never mind the fact that Obama had Jay-Z, Beyonce, and all these other characters invited to the White House. Never mind the fact that Obama literally had terrorists at his White House, namely Bill Ayers. So Bill Ayers, a terrorist, came inside of the White House. And Obama's been pretty open about his friendships with his ties and his friendship with Bill Ayers, an actual terrorist who plotted and I think successfully blew up a government building, that could have had people in it. He didn't kill anybody, but he was really close to doing it. Now, that's violence for a political purpose. And he was doing that, I think, was it protest the Vietnam War? I'm pretty sure it was to protest the Vietnam War. And Larry Elder, conservative commentator Larry Elder, had him on his show, and he refused to apologize for it. He said, I'm not sorry for it. I'm not sorry. So Bill Ayers went to the Obama house, and the media, crickets. New phone, who dis? So, spare me the fake outrage about all of this. Spare me the fake outrage, please, because this is not something that you've been consistent about ever, ever, ever. And the left is the party of is the group of profanity. They're the advocates of profanity. In fact, that's one of the distinctions that they want to undo. If you look at leftist TV, if you look at leftist Broadway musicals, if you look at if you just look at non-leftist Broadway musicals, like my personal favorites, Phantom of the Opera and Fiddler on the Roof, namely Fiddler on the Roof is one of my big intellectual influences, actually. No profanity whatsoever and nothing close to it. Except for Phantom of the Opera, where it says, damn you, but that's probably it. Curse you. But if you look at the recent Broadway trends, again, I'm very into musicals, but if you look at the recent Broadway trends, profane. All of them just profanity, profanity, profanity. The songs are about sex. The songs are about orgies. The songs are about, they have really horrible topics. There's a song that was explicitly about masturbation. So the left, everything the left touches, it makes more profane. You know, this is why you have TV that is utterly sexualized. And am I saying this is bad for society? I think it is. I think it is bad for society. But here's what happens, I think. This is just as a side note. I think what happens with our hyper-sexualized society is, yes, with some people it has the effect that they become sexually active earlier, but I think it has an adverse effect as well. There's a sociological principle that is kind of like the forbidden fruit concept, where if you tell somebody that something is forbidden, they want to do it, which is why there's studies that show that if you legalize drugs, less people will use drugs. If you legalize weed, less people will use drugs. And the opposite is true as well. If you promote sex and premarital sex and sex outside of wedlock, and if you do all that stuff, there's studies that, or if this sociological and psychological principle is true, we could expect that it could have the adverse effect on people. So this hyper-sexualized society, in fact, could turn the other way. Who knows? Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm right. Now, let's see. Right now, we're going to talk about climate change. Now, this is going to be exactly 1 minute of people on MSNBC saying that, hey, look, we have a lot of property damage. We've seen a lot more natural disasters recently. We've seen a lot worse and severe natural disasters recently. So this is really a climate change issue. So let's listen.
Yet have data on what the damage right for this hurricane season will be yet. But you can see those 2 years were wildly above anything we've experienced in the past.
Yeah, well, if you look at the data, if you look at the trend lines, it's obvious that we're getting more storms. They're more intense. They're costing us a lot more. I was talking to a good friend of mine who's a very good Republican, a very good conservative guy, but he also happens to be an executive with an insurance company whose job it is to handle risk management. He said, man, it doesn't matter how conservative you are. If you look at the data, just this century since 2000, and look at the storms, they're becoming more plentiful, they're becoming more intense, and they're costing billions and billions of dollars. Every year it keeps getting worse. And his conclusion was, and he's no meteorologist, and neither are we, but he said, anybody that suggests there's not climate change, they need to come into my office. I'll show them the charts. It is climate change.
Okay, so I'll show them the charts, because obviously this is climate change. So what they do is they give you graphs, and it shows like in an upward trend. There's a positive correlation between the recent years and the property destruction and the severity of hurricanes. There's no doubt that there is some truth to the idea that hurricanes and natural disasters are becoming more hurricanes. I'm talking more hurricanes and storms and typhoons. They're becoming more precipitous, but they're not becoming more multitudinous. And I've said this forever, because there's the amount of hurricanes that have happened since the 1700s and now are exactly the same. They're virtually the same. If anything, they've gone down by like one or two. But the amount of hurricanes have stayed the same during hurricane season. There's like 16 to 22 hurricanes during hurricane season. Now the idea is, hey, look at how much property damage has been done in the recent decades. You know, they cite Katrina, they cite 2017 with Maria and Harvey. But there's such an obvious response to that. Wow, look at how much property damage is done. Yeah, the past two decades have been nothing but building. We've been building and building and building our minds out exponentially. There's been exponential buildings. This is going to sound weird, but there's been an exponential erection of buildings. All right? That's just the fact. I looked it up. I suspected it immediately. I was like, well, that's because we've just had more buildings. I looked it up, something to the effect of like, it's just simple Google search. Buildings, new buildings each year trend or something like that. And then in 2015, I saw something, an article from 2015, record-breaking number of buildings were built in 2015. Then in 2017, record-breaking number of buildings in 2017. And then in 2016, China, record-building. So we're just building and building and building. The trends with our infrastructure conclude that not only are we building at a more buildings, but we're building at a higher rate. And here's another thing that's a recent trend in building that I learned. The size of buildings is outpacing the number of buildings now. So we're not only making more buildings, we're making bigger buildings. So there's just more stuff. We just have more matter. That if you have a hurricane anywhere near Texas, which is a heavily populated state, if you have a hurricane near Florida, which is a very heavily populated state, if you have a hurricane near Puerto Rico, which is a heavily populated state, you're going to have more destruction. It's just, it's like math. So you have more buildings, more matter, and that's the destruction and all of that other stuff. Now, is it carbon input? Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about all of the other stuff, my theory about humans versus nature, even though that's something that it's another theme that I wish to get across. You know, humans have been battling nature for all of civilization, and now that we have carbon emissions, we can build an infrastructure to keep us safe and to prevent climate-related deaths, and climate-related deaths have been going down for a very long time. So the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that the left first started off with global warming, right? So it was simple. We had global warming, okay? So what did that mean? That meant the Earth was getting hotter. The Earth is getting hotter, and that's all there is to it. Nothing we could do. Then they change it to climate change. Ooh. What does climate change mean? Climate change is basically, well, they've defined it as extreme weather of all kinds. So not only is it the Earth is getting hotter, it's the Earth is getting windier. The Earth is getting, there are more natural fires, and that's another thing that I'm going to have to talk about just briefly. So it's extreme weather of all sorts. So whatever weather happens, I'm right, and it's proof of my political agenda on climate change. Oh, there's a weird weather stuff going on over here. That's climate change. That's due to climate change. And not only due to climate change, but due to carbon emissions, which make up 1/25 of 1% of the atmosphere. And of course, that little percent composition of the atmosphere controls the entire atmosphere, right? That's obviously correct. I think the number I think man-made emissions have like 50% to do. 50% to do with, and that's kind of the consensus of what I've heard. Most climatologists say anywhere from 45 to 55%, maybe even 60% of man-made emissions are contributing to the atmosphere. And not only, I mean, that's not necessarily bad, because not even all climate change is bad in the first place. And a lot of it is stuff that we can't even control. You know, there's so many inputs in climatology that it's impossible to be able to count it as an exact science. Another thing that I wanted to mention, the wildfires. So a lot of people mentioned the wildfires in California. Well, yeah, you have to account for the wildfires. That's clearly a result of climate change. This is going to sound weird and oddly libertarian, but no. Wildfires are actually more, the federal government and its imposition of regulations are more responsible for wildfires than climate change could ever be. So what happens is, in these national parks, a lot of these wildfires start in these national parks, and then they spread and they spread. So in these national parks, what happens is the federal government restricts people from maintaining the national parks. They say, we're not allowed to touch the national parks. We're not allowed to touch them. We're not allowed to maintain them. We're not allowed to do anything to them. So what happens is these dry leaves, these trees just kind of shed, and they fall on a ground that all the oil, all the petroleum in the area just rises up, and it rises up. And then when these really, really dry pieces of tree that are just dried off and they fall into the ground, connect with, or they make contact with the petroleum, it's a recipe. The slightest spark can start a fire because the ground is so filled with, so marinated with petroleum, and it's so, and all over the ground, it's all spread out with these dry shrubs of bark and leaves from the trees that are unkempt, that it starts fires on its own. Now, if park rangers, and they'll be the first to tell you the situation, if park rangers were allowed to go in and clean the floors and lift off and maintain the trees and pick up all the dry pieces of shrub and bark, I think it would be much better off. There'd be fewer fires, and they'd be far less intense fires. So that's what's going on with the national parks and with the wildfires. But people will never give you the nuance. People will never tell you exactly what's going on. People will never tell you that right now, I think we have like four, the rate of carbon dioxide in the air is like 400 parts per million. And in a greenhouse, to make plants grow, they'll put anywhere from 700 to 1200 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So right now, the level of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere is not anything catastrophic. It's not anything that's going to be inducing these hurricanes. It's not anything that you have to be a good conservative Republican. The only way you can be a good conservative Republican is if you accept our climate change agenda. It's so obvious that this is what they're trying to imply. And all they're just showing you graphs. That's all they're doing. They're showing you graphs. Look at how much damage. Look at the numbers. With no scientific nuance. No explanation of what's going on. No explanation, no explication of the actual physiology that occurs in a hurricane. No historical frame of reference, nothing. They just give you these blanket numbers, and they expect you, the conservative, to say, look, the only way you can be a good, intellectually honest conservative is if you look at these charts and come away with the same conclusions that we do. And that, my friends, is probably the most difficult thing that we have to overcome. The left accusing us. We are always on the defensive. On the issue of healthcare, on the issue of guns, on the issue of climate change, on the issue of abortion, on every single issue ever. And the one thing that conservatives have to do, and the one reason that Trump won, and the one reason that I think people are becoming more aggressive and more animated now in these 2018 midterms, is be aggressive, be assertive, and go on the offensive, not the defensive. That is a way to win, and that is a way to convince minds, and that is a way to change hearts in this great rhetorical battle between right and left. Before you go, make sure to subscribe to our channel, make sure to like this video, and please click the bell to get our notifications in order to fight the YouTube censorship. Please make sure, if you are a longtime listener, or even if you're not, to go on to checkpointnews.com/donate to reciprocate the value back to us that we are providing to you. And please, if you cannot do that, then go over to checkpointmerch.com, and then you can find our wide selection of merchandise items for you to purchase so that you get something directly other than, of course, the great value that we're providing you through these mediums. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Minds, Gab, Steemit, Facebook, Instagram, and a variety of other social media platforms that we have listed below. It helps us out immensely, and it makes it easier for us to reach you, the listener. Thank you so much for watching.